You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Simon Fraser University in Burnaby, British Columbia. We strive to provide perspectives that are rarely expressed in mainstream media. If you'd like to know more about us, check out our website at cjsf.ca.
Hello, 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 and welcome to Beats and Eats. I'm your host, Nicole. And each week I'm here on Thursday afternoons from 1 to 2, playing dope beats and chatting with dope people who are doing amazing things or have cooked some amazing things or have eaten at an amazing spot. Today I have a bunch of interviews that I'm going to be sharing. The weather's great, so I'm hoping you're enjoying that. And but before I get into all the interviews and all the talk, I'm going to get into some music. Let's start off with a Brazilian track called Z's.
Abra a janela, o vento sopra, chuva gostoso e abra a porta pra você entrar. Pele que há de sol que corta, mão faz um furo, ziz e borda, de verde no ar. Água no rosto, pele na terra, respira um pouco, sol não erra, se você sonhar. Hoje acordei com saudade de pedalar. Hoje acordei com saudade de pedalar. Senti vontade de folhas e pétalas. Abra a janela, o vento sopra, chuva gostosa e abra a porta pra você entrar. De sol que corta, mão faz um furo, ziz e borda, de verde no ar. Água no rosto e pele na terra, respira um pouco, som não é. Se você sonhar. Hoje acordei com saudade de pedalar. Senti vontade de folhas e pétalas.
So is it this song or another one?
Hello, 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 and I am back. That was the first set of tracks on Beats and Eats this Thursday. And they are some tracks that I found on our digital library, starting off with Z's by Philippe News Araujo. And then after that was Your Vibe by London-based electronic musician Iconica. And rounding up that set was Song for You by Paris-based artist Mid off the album Midnight. Next up, I am going to play my first interview of the show. I did this, I had a conversation with Joshua Beamish of Ballet Vancouver. So let us take a listen. This is Nicole with CJSF 90.1 FM, and I'd like to welcome Ballet Vancouver's artistic director, Joshua Beamish, with me today. Joshua, thank you so much for joining me. How are you?
I'm great. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Oh my gosh, I'm so happy that you have the time because I know that this week is pretty busy on your end with the world premiere of Winterborn as part of Ballet Vancouver's inaugural program, After the Rain and Other Works. And that happens later this week, so you got a lot going on. So again, thank you for joining me. My first question for you today is, could you take us through the vision for Winterborn? I'd love to start off with that.
Yeah, so Winterborn, as you mentioned, is the world premiere on the program. It's a co-creation between myself and Indigenous fashion designer Yolanda Skelton Jackson. And we first met each other in 2023 and felt an instant camaraderie and connection and knew we wanted to make something together. And we invested time into building trust and relationship and understanding how we might collaborate and what that would look like. Mm-hmm. And when we decided to form Ballet Vancouver, I really felt compelled that the first performances should represent our Indigenous populations. Nice. in BC, and just really establishing that value for the company right from the beginning. And so the work is really created in a unique way for ballet, where typically the choreographer might make a ballet and then say, okay, and now this is what the costumes should look like, make costumes. But this work, the movement is coming from Yolanda's work. So everything I've created is inspired by what I've seen in her work, or the symbology within her work, or the stories she has told me and shared with me and trusted me with. To honor her work through movement. Mm-hmm. And the work is also very inspired by Chris Dirksen's compositions. Chris is a Cree composer, very celebrated composer in Canada. Nice. And Chris has allowed us to use her existing work for this piece. So it's very much that I'm creating in response to them.
I love that. So then my next question then is, like, how are you honoring like ballet's legacy through this work?
I think we're honoring ballet's legacy by asking it to evolve and transform, and by asking it to earn its place in the world today, which without giving up what it is. It's like the dancers are not in most of the program, the dancers are on point and it features point work. Mm-hmm. This piece, some sections are in soft shoes, some sections are in point shoes. But I've really asked ballet to earn its place on these lands. How can a new ballet made here, yes, deserve to exist and honor what was here before the form existed?
I love that. And it now that kind of like segues into my next question, because I'm curious if you wouldn't mind sharing, like, what drew you to decide to launch Ballet Vancouver in the first place? Like, what was that driving factor for you?
My career has always been really equally between contemporary dance and ballet. And I've been presenting ballet on point here through Joshua Beamish Move the company quite often over the last 20 years. Okay. And every time I have, we have seen 3 to 5 times the attendance of a contemporary dance show that I would present. And I love contemporary dance, but we also have like a true wealth of world-class, high-caliber contemporary dance here. Right. And so it felt like I also have this great love for ballet. And I know, based on the quality of the training we have here, the schools that we have that produce these wonderful classical ballet dancers, mm-hmm, that there's a public of people out there who are putting their kids into ballet training, who are really interested in seeing ballet as we typically and traditionally know it. Mm-hmm. Tutus, point shoes, stories. I think that there's a real hunger for that. And Vancouver is one of the only places in North America that can say it's been underserved for that, I think, culturally.
Right.
And so it just felt like the right time. It felt like the opportunity for me to make the greatest impact. Yes. And then also to ask the form to say, like, yeah, okay, if we're doing this, how are we going to do it different? Who has been ignored or not involved or not invited into these spaces? Mm-hmm. And how are we changing that from the point of formation?
Right. I love that. And I think that is so important. My next question then is, like, what is your vision for the future of this company?
Well, I'm very excited that this week we're announcing our 2026-27 season. Yay. So this first event, this first event this week is kind of like our inaugural show. It's a one-off thing. But then beginning September, we will have a full season of three different programs in a subscription series.
Right on.
And so, thank you. So we're just building activity, increasing public engagement, fundraising, touring. Like, we're really... My vision is that it is a full-time, year-round company for these dancers, right. And that dancers from here who trained here have the option to stay here and have a classical ballet career. Yes. They don't have to leave to Toronto or the U.S. or Europe for a career opportunity, and that some people who are from here who went away and became celebrated have a place to come home and perform, so that we really exist as like a home for ballet here, that if you're from here and you're in Royal Winnipeg Ballet or something, when you're back, you have a place where you can come and take class and you feel like you're still part of the ballet company in your hometown. I think that there's something really beautiful about that. So that, and then I'm excited as a curator to have all of these opportunities to develop choreographers and to create programs that support new voices finding their way into ballet if that's what they wish. And just more opportunity to say like, okay, I have maybe, you know, 6 to 9 pieces to curate a year. So who can I bring in? What communities in our city can I represent and share, like, oh yeah, you may not know, but there's a very celebrated ballet choreographer from your community. And we're going to show their work. And then that brings new communities in our city to our art form.
Love it. Love it. Now I want to switch gears a little bit because, like I mentioned at the top of our conversation, you're busy this week because April 23rd to 25th, you've got stuff going on. So if we could chat a little bit about After the Rain and other works, what could guests expect? Like if, you know, I'm even just brand spanking new and I just like stumbled onto our conversation on air, like what could a guest expect?
You can expect pointe shoes. That's the one thing. And Vancouver does not see professional dancers dancing on pointe outside of the Nutcracker. So to really see, and we love the Nutcracker. We're so glad that it's such a successful, beloved thing for our community. And then also there is so much more to ballet that our community has been left out on. So After the Rain, we're bringing Christopher Wheeldon's work. After the Rain is his piece. He's a Tony Award-winning director and choreographer, the artistic associate of the Royal Ballet in London, former resident choreographer of New York City Ballet. He's a major that voice in ballet. And this is the first time his work is ever being performed in Vancouver. So again, it's like, it is like, again, we're probably the largest city in North America to have never seen his work. So this is the kind of thing that excites me about what lies in our future. And then we have a work by Annabelle Lopez Ochoa, and that work is called Redemption. It's the story of a fallen angel, and I was actually the original dancer in it. And now it's being transferred for the first time onto Ballet Vancouver dancers. And it's, it's a very beautiful piece. Annabelle is a very celebrated Belgian-Colombian choreographer based in Europe. And so, I'm very excited to bring her piece to the stage here. And then Wenwei Wang is a beloved Vancouver choreographer, very successful, the former artistic director of Ballet Edmonton. And his piece Swan plays on the iconography of Swan Lake and the dying swan, but in a very sexy, playful, virtuosic way. So it's like it's Swan Lake remixed, more like image-based than necessarily story-based. But it's, it's a really compelling work that I'm excited to share with our community.
Oh, I'm so excited. Like, I'm going to just run through just so that we plug to make sure that people know that After the Rain and other works, it's going to be taking place at Vancouver Playhouse from April 23rd to 25th. You can head to balletvancouver.com for tickets and info and all of the things. So I just want to make sure that we kind of get that out of the way there. And before I kind of let you go, is there anything else that you want to share with listeners today that maybe we didn't cover?
I think it's just, even if you've never seen ballet before and have no idea if you like it, There is this program is such a spectrum of work, and it represents so many different facets of the cultural mosaic of our city and ballet's history, ballet's future, ballet's present. Mm-hmm. We have guest artists from American Ballet Theater who are fantastic. The quality of the artistry and the dancing is very high. The program is very virtuosic and compelling. And so I think give ballet a chance, because yes, whether you're here for the conceptual ideas or you're here for the high legs and the lifts in the air and like lots of spins, ballet offers so much in its marriage of grace and athleticism.
Yes.
And I think that our city is going to really respond to that, given our active, we love to exercise here.
We do.
And I think
we
that there's much to celebrate. Yeah, there's much to celebrate about human possibility in this show.
I love it. And I'm going to leave with, guys, give ballet a chance. So I want to thank you so much, Joshua, for hanging out with me and just kind of like giving us an insight into ballet, because I'm sure there's a lot of listeners who this might have been their first introduction. So I really appreciate you for taking the time out. And I want to thank everybody for listening. As you know, you've been tuned into CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, broadcasting from the unceded Coast Salish territories.
And that was a great conversation. Give ballet a chance. It's super, super important. Again, I just want to plug After the Rain and Other Works takes place at Vancouver Playhouse from April 23rd to 25th. Head over to balletvancouver.com for tickets and info, and I will include those details in the show notes today.
Are you a fan of industrial and have been trying to find smaller artists? Have you only heard of Nine Inch Nails and are looking to get further into the genre? Maybe you're like that guy I met in my lecture who hadn't even heard of Linkin Park. No matter where you're coming from, Wire & Nerve is the show for you. 1 hour of all kinds of industrial, from Throbbing Gristle to Godflesh to Frontline Assembly and more. Tune in Mondays 7 to 8 p.m. only on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby.
Call.
Liver disease affects 1 in 4 Canadians. While liver disease may be part of your story, it doesn't define it. Liver Canada is here for you. Find support at liver.ca.
The Slate Family Foundation Legacy Program was created by the Unison Fund to support Canadian music industry veterans. For more information on this lifeline of hope, visit unisonfund.ca.
Hello, hello, hello. I'm back, and I've got another interview to share. Next up, I am going to share an interview that I did yesterday with East Vancouver-based MC and storyteller Francis Arevalo. Let's take a listen. Hello and welcome to CJSF 90.1 FM. You're listening to Campus and Community Radio, broadcasting from Burnaby on the unceded Coast Salish territories. My name is Nicole, and today I am chatting with East Vancouver, born and raised MC and storyteller, Francis Arevalo. How are you doing, Francis? Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. It's so nice to connect with you. It's a beautiful sunny day here in Vancouver, and I am enjoying it from outside.
Yes, I love it. So, guys, we are pre-recording. Unfortunately, you don't get to see what I'm seeing, but France is in the most glorious background right now. It is picturesque.
Yeah, I've got the blue sky. It's sunny. I've got, like, I shot around for a little. I was playing basketball earlier.
Hey.
I've got, like, the spring glow on me. You know, it feels good.
I love it. I love it. Okay, so my first question that I'm going to ask for you today is, I am a Toronto native, born and raised. However, I love East Van. I have lived in East Van for some time. I don't live in East Van now, but I've always loved it. So my question to you is, what was it like growing up in East Van?
Yeah, so I was born on... I was born in a hospital, but I was born on, I basically grew up on Fraser Street. I actually did all my grade school in Surrey, actually, but then I moved back with my extended family after I graduated high school, and I've been in Vancouver ever since, East Vancouver ever since. And yeah, I think, you know, my favorite parts about East Van is that, I mean, the first thing, honestly, is that my family is there. It's like I'm big on like that connection. You know, my first community was my family, still is my family. Mm-hmm. And the places that I spend time are usually like Fraser Street, Main Street, and like Joyce Collingwood neighborhood. Yeah. So the Filipino community is really present in the form of businesses and shops and studios and stuff like that. So I don't know. I just, it feels this, the areas that I spend time in now feel the most at home I've ever built, I've ever been. And I think it's been like that since I was a child. And I'm really grateful for that.
I love it. And I just want to share that one of the, well, the first neighborhood that I migrated to when I moved here was Joyce Collingwood. And I absolutely love, I absolutely love Joyce. I actually miss that neighborhood. So I love that that was part of your, you know, upbringing in the city. Now, I would love to move to a question about your background and your journey with words and storytelling. Can you take us on a bit of a journey?
Yeah. So I think my first experiences with like using language creatively and fully and expressively definitely comes from my family. Like my family is very like communicative at the least, and you know, they are always expressing how they feel and their opinions on things, and you know, I think we're always in conversation. So I think from a very young age I learned that language is a way that you connect with other people. And early on through grade school, like elementary, like I really liked writing stories, and eventually became poems, and then in high school became songs. And it was just natural progression from the roots of, you know, communicating as family, to, you know, share my emotions and share my thoughts and share my stories. And somewhere, I think somewhere in end of high school, early university, I got really involved with the poetry slam scene here in Vancouver. So I was performing spoken word. I got involved in like a mentorship program, and I was competing at the local poetry slam like almost weekly. And then as, when it came to competing, like in the on the individual side, I was the inaugural youth poetry slam champion here in Vancouver.
Right on.
And I kind of peaked at as a finalist at the Canadian individual poetry slam. I think that was like 2011 or 2012. So as far as my involvement in that scene, it really peaked there, but like, to be honest, I did so poorly at the finals that it dissuaded me from continuing further.
Okay.
So that was kind of the pivot point of like, okay, I still want to write. I still want to be creative. What if it was music and it wasn't competition instead?
Okay.
And so somewhere between 2012 and 2013, like a switch flipped. Mm-hmm. And I kind of dedicated the rest of my creative career to mostly song, and then every now and then the poem.
Love that. And when it comes to your creative career, how important has your culture been for you? Like, I know you talked a lot about family, but, you know, you're a Filipino-Canadian. How does that play a role in your artistic work?
Yeah, I think honestly, the biggest thing for me is the sense of family and the sense of like collectivism that I've kind of been raised up in. To me, I think expressing creatively is not an individual act. It's like I'm like a plant soaking up the environment and the other plants around me, right? So the stories that I tell are often rooted in my perspective, in my first person experience. But the lessons and the insights that I'm pulling from are from my family. They're from my friends. They're from the communities that I participate in. So I was raised to know that I don't exist in a vacuum, and I exist as part of a web of other people. Mm-hmm.